Well, in terms of data collection, really, it's every day is the same, because not only are we monitoring big weather events like this, but we're also maintaining the climate database for the nation, which is a daily basis that's been going on since the late 1800s all across the civilized part of the country.
And walk us through how that data is collected. Are there data sites? I mean, are they all owned by NOAA? Or how does this work?
Well, there's ever more data sites. It's kind of, we're in the information age. We're getting more and more information all the time. We've had a network of stations, you know, going back decades, that some of which the Weather Service maintains directly. But as weather stations are kind of becoming cheaper for people to buy for themselves, for their schools, for you know, television station to buy networks, we're able to tap into those different sources as well. So we have ever more data coming into the office telling us what conditions are around our area.
And so you're able to tap into all those even if they're not owned by NOAA?
Well, I'm sure not all of them. This is, you know, there's people that have things that aren't on networks that
right.
we have access to, but certainly most of them, a lot of them, we're able to get right in our forecast office, yeah.
And you talked a little bit about this database that goes back a long way. So when we hear about all these record temperatures falling, how far back does this data go?
Well, we have intermittent weather records back to the, you know, the founding fathers and even before that. But in terms of daily, you know, everyday weather records, it really goes back to the founding of the National Weather Service, the U.S. Signal Corps, back just after the Civil War. And most of, especially the East Coast cities, have weather records going back to that time in the late 1800s.
And yet, in periods like this, where the East Coast, and of course we had Snowmageddon about 6 months ago, talk about contrast. You guys are, everyone's turning to you guys because we want to know, you know, we're seeking you guys for information.
Yeah, and that's one of the good things about having that long-term data record, is we can see, you know, not only what it is, but how that stacks up, you know, how uncommon it is to have this sort of thing. So cities can plan for how they're going to respond to this type of heat wave and, you know what's possible going back through our record.
Talk a little bit about this heat wave, because it seems, and our memories aren't that long. We don't have that kind of institutional 200-year history. It always seems like, oh my goodness, it's never been this hot before. I can't remember. And is that actually true? Give us a sense as to how unusual this particular spell is.
Well, it is unusually warm for this, especially the early part of summer. Actually, for Washington, since the start of June, it's the warmest we've been this early in the summer. It's also made more extreme in people's minds because the past couple of summers have been rather cool. So we're dealing with a hot summer now that we haven't seen in a few years.
We're not practiced at it.
Exactly. So it's a combination of, you know, it hasn't happened very recently, in addition to we're getting some pretty hot weather in pretty early in the summer.
I heard somebody say June, one of the warm in the D.C. area, one of the warmest ever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we've had just since the start of June, we've had 21 90 degree plus days in Washington. And that's, it's pretty exceptional to have that many this early in the season.
And today again, where it's already going to be there again.
Exactly. And we're, only in the early part of July. So we've got quite a ways to go before we're through with 90 degree days.
So in these kinds of events, this or Snowmageddon, is the biggest difference is just people like me calling you up and saying, okay, explain this all to me, or are there other changes that go on?
Well, especially once we start getting to pretty extraordinarily high temperatures like we had yesterday and we're going to have today, over 100 degrees, or, going back to 5 months ago when we were dealing with blizzard conditions, It's important for us as the Weather Service, protecting people's lives and property from weather events, that we can let people know that not only are we going to have a snowstorm, or not only is it going to be hot, but we start getting into pretty exceptional conditions that people aren't used to, or you start having, more and more heat-related illnesses. People are overwhelmed by the heat much more quickly than they're used to encountering. Back to where we were 5 months ago, people driving through blizzard conditions here in Washington and Baltimore, which are very exceptional and very life-threatening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to ask you, do all your friends ask you what the weather's going to be like?
The life of a weatherman.
Yeah.
You could ask what the weather's going to be. Yeah, sure, every day.
And one of the odd things about being a meteorologist is that people seem to blame you for the weather, like you're somehow responsible for this.
Yes, you always catch flack for the bad weather. You try to
don't get much credit
for the good weather.
Yeah, you don't get nearly enough credit for the good stuff.
Yeah, well, we're always going to be the messenger, so you have to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world. Great.
So, as we're going through this hot weather, make sure that everybody stays cool and checks on, especially the elderly. Make sure that everybody's staying safe.
And what everyone keeps saying is hydrate, 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 drink lots of water.
Absolutely, yeah. Drink lots of water, get in air conditioning when you can, and if you know people that don't have air conditioning, make sure you check in on them.